Hi, welcome back to The Horrors.
Hi, I'm Elise.
I'm Shay.
And this is March Madness.
We are back with Villains March Madness, which arguably is the more fun of the two.
It's my favorite.
It's our favorite because there's so many characters at play. There's so many villains at play. But for those of you who might be tuning in for the first time, even though we just came out with Final Girls March Madness last week, this is something that we've been doing for the past 3 years.
Wow.
Idea inspiration comes from the Dead Meat podcast, our favorite horror content creators and yours. They started doing this a while ago. They've since pivoted and started doing Horror Survivor and Horror Royal Rumbles, which is also very fun. So I'll link their episodes in the bio. But the way that we do it is we cover villains that we've covered in the last year, essentially since our last March Madness, which for the sake of our discussion is episode 72, Scream 6 through episode 115, American Mary. And we categorize these villains by likeness and see who would win in a street fight. We understand that we might be leaving some villains out for the purposes of this fight. It's hard to talk about the entity from Talk to Me, right? It's hard to talk about the hand from Talk to Me. It's hard to talk about nothing from the Night House. So not everybody is represented. We just kind of chose our heavy hitters, our most fun people to talk about, and created some categories, and we're going to see who wins out in this chaotic fight.
Who are we starting with?
So the first category we're starting with is a new category called Keeping It in the Fam. And what's interesting about this category is that there are families. So there's multiple entities that are at play here because one simply just can't exist without the other. And while there will be ways for us to make this fair later on for the purposes of our first bracket, all of them will be fighting as a family unit. So it's going to be a brawl. The first matchup we have in the Keeping It in the Fam division is the Bailey family from Scream 6 versus the Strangers from The Strangers. This is a 3-on-3 battle. Mm-hmm. So as we remember, we have Detective Bailey and his son and his daughter, Quinn, and I forget fucking boy's name.
I can't remember.
Doesn't matter. They are all the ghost faces in Scream 6. And then we have the Strangers. So Baghead, Dollface, and Pinup Girl.
My first reaction is the Bailey family is so, they're so like unhinged.
Mm-hmm.
Like I feel like we get to see them be much more active in Scream 6. So I know that they would absolutely bring it to a street fight. Whereas the Strangers, I feel like, are much more calculated. I don't know if they would perform as well in a real time fight up against a group like the Bailey family.
They just like to lurk.
Yeah.
And while there is certainly like a physical presence, I feel like they wear down their competition just by creeping them out a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of their play is psychological, but the Bailey family are very gun happy.
Yeah. And they're not going to give a shit about lurking.
I mean, there's a lot of masks going on too.
Yeah.
Everyone's got a mask on.
They do. They all have masks.
But I'm thinking, you know, we were just talking about Courtney Cox before this and Gale Weathers and about the chase scene specifically in Scream 6, about just how physical ghost faces are. Like there's something about that mask that makes them almost unkillable until they are. Are we leaning toward the Bailey family?
Yeah, I think it has to be the Bailey family. I just think that in a street fight, they would bring just the absolute physical dominance.
Okay, so the first winner of the Keeping It in the Fam matchup is the Bailey family. Moving on to the second matchup in this division, we have the Crawlers from The Descent up against Leatherface and his family.
So again, we have a group of beings that I, in my head, categorize as absolutely like batshit, will do anything, up against a group that's a little bit more methodical. I feel like the Crawlers in The Descent are shown to be so physically strong, so intense. There are so many of them. Are we like matching the amount of Crawlers with like the amount of people in the Leatherface family? Should we do like 4 and 4?
Yeah, I'm thinking about Leatherface. I'm thinking about Drayton. I'm thinking about like his brother, the hitchhiker.
Yeah, yeah.
And I mean, it's grandpa, but my grandpa's not really doing anything.
So maybe it was like 3 Crawlers.
Yes.
Okay, so we'll keep the numbers fair. What do you think?
So the only thing that the Sawyer family might have on the Crawlers is the fact that they can see.
Ah, yeah, good point.
They can see and they have weapons, right? So we have the chainsaw, we have hooks, we have a lot of sharp instruments, maybe a little bit more of a like I said, just like a weathered, practical, strong, able to kind of exist in a lot of different spheres. But again, like, I guess, where is this taking place? Is it in the dark? Because these crawlers, while they can't see because they live underground, are a lot more attuned to their other senses and physically dominating in those spaces.
I'm imagining a street fight. So like, at most, it's like nighttime and the street lamps are on. So I definitely think there's going to be light. That is a really good point, though, because the advantage that the crawlers have in the caves is that they can see, and the rest of those women can't. When they don't have their flashlights, they're not familiar with the terrain. I think the crawlers would absolutely dominate in their home territory. But that could be said about the Sawyer family, too. I mean, one of their advantages is knowing the layout of their house and being on their home turf. So if they're both in the street, I think you made a really good point about the weapons that the Sawyer family would be bringing to this fight, whereas the crawlers, as intense as they are just bringing their fists. I mean,
and their teeth.
And their teeth. And like, that's great, but a chainsaw?
Yeah.
Hooks, machinery, guns. So I think it might be the Sawyer family here.
It might be. I think only because they're a little bit more rugged. And we do see Juno taking out a bunch of crawlers just with a pickaxe and with something more automated. I think it's the Sawyer family.
Yeah. Okay.
So moving on to our mystical beings division, which is a loving division we bring back year after year, we are starting off with a deadite.
Just one.
Just one from Evil Dead versus the alien from Alien.
Again, I love the villains March Madness because there are always the most wild combinations, just beyond our wildest dreams. I'm terrified of the alien.
Yeah.
So big.
It is like 10 feet tall.
So, so strong.
I'm also afraid of Linda laughing at me.
But would the alien be afraid of Linda laughing at him?
No. No. While the Deadites are wild, and I think up against any human foe, it would be a formidable force. The alien would like just take a Deadite out in like a swipe.
I agree. Just like one bat of its claw. Okay, bye, Linda.
Bye, Linda. Which is funny because I'm wearing her on my shirt right now. I'm wearing an Evil
there
Dead
she
shirt.
Is. In memoriam.
In memoriam. Our first winner of the Mystical Beings division is the alien from Alien. Moving on, this one is actually pretty intense looking at it, and we're starting out strong here. We have Samara from The Ring up against Reagan, possessed by Pazuzu, from The Exorcist. Little girl's gone bad.
Little girl's gone bad.
That's right.
Okay, so let's think about it. Let's think about Samara. She can control radio waves.
Technology.
Technology.
Yes. She can surpass technology.
Yes, she can travel through screens. But we're in a street fight. So what is she bringing with her? A TV.
Pruny hands.
Pruny hands. A TV.
Lots of hair.
Lots of hair.
Mommy issues.
Mommy issues. Oh, that is... I mean, do not underestimate that weapon.
Which Reagan also has.
Reagan is incredibly strong, and we see her use her strength many times.
She's very flexible. She can turn her head right round, baby, right round.
You know what? That's such a good point. She is so flexible. How often do we get to see that in a March Madness fight? Flexibility. She can dodge. She can duck. She can roll.
She can puke.
She can puke. Yeah. Samara's not even going to get in a decent radius of Reagan. She's just going to puke on her.
She's going to puke on her.
And that will disarm her enough.
And Samara doesn't like being wet. Like,
oh, yeah, because she was in a well.
The well. Yeah, I think that might be triggering for her.
I think so, too. I think Reagan has such an arsenal of weaponry that would absolutely destroy Samara.
Yeah, I mean, she's like killing grown men.
Yes, several grown men.
Several grown men. Okay, as formidable of a foe as Samara is and how I would not like to see her across my own TV screen or have her call me in the nighttime. I think Reagan's it. So the next time we return to the Mystical Beings division, it is going to be the alien from Alien versus Reagan from The Exorcist.
Yes.
Now, I just talked about grown men, and we're going to talk a little bit more about grown men because the next division we have is the grown men division.
This is my personal favorite. Every year, I love the basic grown men division.
The grown men division. Starting off, we have Jack Torrance from The Shining up against the miner from My Bloody Valentine.
I am so obsessed with My Bloody Valentine. If you listen to our episode, you've heard me say that 7 times. I would like to just say it again, just to declare my love. So already, I'll let you know where I'm hoping we find a winner, but we haven't weighed the odds yet.
Both of these men carry very sharp objects. They like to swing. We have a pickaxe and we have an axe.
We do. I think a pickaxe is kind of like a little bit more glamorous, though.
It's sharp on both ends, where an axe is only sharp on one.
Yeah, I mean, you could still do some damage with the other side.
Oh, yeah. It's more of a blunt object, where I feel like a pickaxe is more of a sharp object. Mm-hmm. Now, what are these men motivated by? I think the miner is a bit of a scorned lover in it for revenge.
And Jack Torrance is possessed.
Is possessed.
By ghosts.
By some ghosts.
Okay. I mean, it's definitely giving the miner is probably going to be more motivated. But I mean, that doesn't really seem to matter for Jack Torrance. I mean, he's like possessed, so he's kind of programmed to do what he has to do. And if they both bring similar weapons, well, let's think. I mean, Jack Torrance is outsmarted. He is outsmarted when he is led into the maze and he can't get out. So if they're in a street fight, there's some running, there's some trickery afoot. Maybe if the miner is smart enough, he could get Jack Torrance via trickery.
I mean, I think that's what the miner really relies on, is knowing where other people are when they don't know where they are, because he's running around underground.
Yeah.
There's so many caverns. There's so many places to get lost. And we're not going to assume the fight is taking place in the miner's home turf. But I also think the miner is used to being able to operate under unideal conditions. Like, again, where is Jack running around? A hotel?
But you know what I will say? The miner has his advantage via sneak attacks. Mm-hmm. We seldom see him until the end fighting against people who are not caught off guard. Jack Torrance, we see him go after Wendy, but she's still able to fight him off. I don't know. I mean, like, so I'm kind of wondering, maybe I'm thinking the miner would be more of a foe, but if he's up against somebody who knows that he's going after them, like, would he be as successful?
Part of me thinks so, because the only reason that Jack Torrance ever made a reemergence in the second half of that movie is because the ghosts let him out of the pantry.
That is such, you know what? That is such a good point.
Again, and I'm not questioning the strength of Shelley Duvall's Wendy Torrance or the cleverness of Danny Torrance, but Jack is going up against a woman and a child.
And she's so scared and she can hardly keep her shit together.
And they still win,
and
right?
And she wins, yep.
Whereas the miner is going up against rugged, blue collar.
Yes.
Men who move coal for a living.
You know, that's...
That's it.
That's it.
It's the miner.
Bye, Jack.
Bye,
I won't
Jack.
Miss you.
I won't miss you. Now, this next matchup tickles me pink. Because these two have so much in common by the time we see them at the end of their respective films. So we have Anton from The Perfection, the man who runs the music monastery of horrors, against Dr. Grant from American Mary.
And can you remind me what these two men end up having in common at the end of their respective films?
Their arms were cut off. Their legs were cut off. Their mouths were sewn shut. Last we see Anton and Dr. Grant, both of them are seated and or hoisted in a space where they don't have their limbs anymore. And they are unable to speak because their mouths and or their eyes are sewn shut by the women they have wronged.
So if we're imagining these two in a fight, I'm sure we are imagining them at their peak.
Yes, their peak physicality.
Okay, so in that case, I think Dr. Grant is a very, like, burly, tall individual.
Yes.
So, like, we can tell that he is objectively strong. Anton is also fit, but he might not match the size and stature of Dr. Grant, which I do think gives Grant an advantage in a street fight.
One is a man of science and one is a man of music. And I feel like Dr. Grant, because he's a surgeon, would know where to hit Anton where it hurts. And I don't want to make this a plus to Dr. Grant because he's fucking evil, but we see Grant being physically more dominating than we see Anton in their respective movies.
Yeah, so as far as like what we've observed and can consider in these fights, you're absolutely right. We see such a different kind of villainy from Anton.
I think Anton, in terms of manipulation, would win out this fight any day.
100%.
But physically, I think Dr. Grant might have the edge.
Yeah. All right. Dr. Grant, American Mary.
So the next time we come back to the grown men division, we're going to have the miner from My Bloody Valentine versus Dr. Grant from American Mary. Moving on to my favorite new category.
I'm so excited.
This division is entitled F Them Kids Division, because all of these villains prey on children and hate children, eat children, kill children. They hate kids. So first we have Cecilia from Saw X up against Rose the Hat from Dr. Sleep, The Battle of the Swedes.
The Battle of the Swedes. The way that, and we already talked about how similar these two are in our Dr. Sleep episode.
Yeah.
This is a fight I would love to see. I'm terrified. I'm excited.
They're both tall women. They're both smart women. They're so smart.
I want to be them when I grow up.
Yes.
Okay, let's think about this. Rose the Hat has powers of manipulation. She might be able to, right off the bat, manipulate Cecilia into just surrendering.
Correct. I also think Cecilia is a doctor. She is very good at manipulating people. She's very good at planting a ruse. And we've seen Rose the Hat be tricked by ruses before when she gets too excited about the end goal.
So it's like we just mapped out the first offense. Rose throws out her manipulative tactic. Cecilia deflects because she's also smart and she can see right through that shit. Okay, so I don't think either of these women are going to win by powers of manipulation. I think they're too equally matched.
They're equalized in terms of smarts. We're talking about, like, physical ability now.
Okay, well, Cecilia, what did we get to see her do physically in Saul?
Really not too much besides do the intestine lasso maneuver.
That's pretty cool.
I'm not saying it's not cool, but when it came to overpowering Amanda and John at the end, it was the fucking guy with the gun.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
She brings in the child, which is why she's in this category. She put a fucking child in a saw trap. Yeah, it was just really being mean.
Okay, so she's mean and she's good at getting other people to do her work for her.
But Rose knocked Dan down the stairs, stuck her hand inside his fucking femoral artery leg wound, and was sucking that steam. Like, okay. We see a little more fight out of her.
I agree.
Granted, I think she uses manipulation a lot of the time to get there, but she killed Bradley, too. Like, she was stabbing that kid.
Yes. All right.
I think it's Rose.
I think it's Rose.
Rose the Hat. Cecilia, you scare me. But Rose, you scare me more.
Yeah.
The next matchup we have in the F Them Kids division is Bagul from Sinister up against the Woman in Black.
Why do I feel like these two would be lovers?
They would.
I ship this.
They're just like specters.
And they're both like so depressed.
Oh my God, yeah.
They're so sad. They could be so sad together.
Bagul reminds me of a pro wrestler. Like, like he just reminds, like his stature, but also just like the long hair and like the getup a little bit. Mm-hmm. Where like the Woman in Black almost reminds me of a Boo Scare Halloween decoration. Like something that you would put on a clothesline and like throw down from your second story window as kids are like walking up to trick or treat at your house. I don't see the Woman in Black doing anything but bitch and moan throughout the entirety of that movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's what makes me so much like the Woman in Black.
Yes. You are the specter of Carithian Gifford.
I am the specter of Carithian Gifford, and don't you forget it. Okay, so I think it's Bagul. I mean, Bagul's going to beat the shit out of the Woman in Black.
Yeah.
I don't think she's going to put up a fight. She's not the fighting kind. I don't think this is her scene, even though I love that she made an appearance. And honestly, maybe Bagul will just surrender and they can float off into the sunset together.
Exactly. But Bagul is gonna make his tape, and the Woman in Black is just going to keep being upset about her kid in the muck. So, yeah,
and that's okay.
The next time we go back to the F Them Kids division, it's going to be Rose the Hat versus Bagul.
Wow. These matchups are better than I was even prepared for.
Next, we're going to another new division, a Nice Mask Bro division.
Ooh.
So first, we have Babyface from Happy Death Day up against Gabriel from Malignant.
Oh my gosh, I was just thinking in my head, you're gay. And then you said Gabriel.
Gabriel.
That's right. This is a perfect matchup.
And for those of you who are a little fuzzy on Happy Death Day... Can you tell us about that moment?
Okay, there's a moment in Happy Death Day when our main character, Tree, is reliving the same day for the 80th time, and she runs into this guy, and she knows he's gay at this point, and he tries to break up with her, I think, and she just goes, "You're gay," and walks away. But now I think of Shay when I think of this part in the movie, because when Spotify Wrapped was released at the end of last year, Shay's like top artists were Muna, The Japanese House. Who else? Ethel Kane.
Probably Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift.
And a metal band. A lot of it was sapphic people.
Yes. And she posted this like funny meme that was going around like my Spotify Wrapped. And it was the clip of that video saying, "You're gay."
Yep. Oh, goodness.
Anyway, so Babyface. Okay, Babyface has a gun, a knife.
A knife.
Just a knife. Okay.
And then we have Gabriel, who...
So... Look, I'm sorry. Gabriel is crazy. Gabriel defies gravity.
Technically, Gabriel is not wearing a mask because the mask is just the back of Maddie's head. So this is a grown woman just moving backwards at a supernatural rate.
And this backwards figure can punch.
Oh, and Gabriel has the trophy, the medical symbol that he has carved into like a cipher.
He's kind creative. Of. He does 60-second crafts.
And let's think about who's under the mask of Babyface. It's that fucking roommate, Sierra.
Yeah. Here's my thing. They're both equally matched as far as pointy objects go.
Yes.
But Gabriel is so physically capable. I feel like in a street fight, like Gabriel would just absolutely dominate.
Remember when Gabriel fucking leveled everybody in that jail cell?
Yes.
It's Gabriel.
Oh, Gabriel, congratulations. You know what? I forgot about Gabriel. Gabriel is definitely, I think, somebody that's going to be causing some shit.
Oh, yeah. Now, the next two are two men that I don't think are going to be causing some shit, physically, at least, even though I love them. So we have Pop-Pop Kramer himself, John Kramer from Saw, up against Dr. Hannibal Lecter from Silence of the Lambs.
I actually think I'm seeing in my mind's eye how this is going to play out.
It makes me sad, but we know how it's going to play out because...
It's going to be very quick.
Mr. Kramer is riddled with cancer.
And Dr. Hannibal Lecter is going to go straight for the jugular.
He's going to eat his face.
And his kidney with a can of fava beans.
And a nice candy. Yeah. Although Kramer's going to have his pig mask and Lecter's going to have his little like cannibal mask or whatever like that. Hannibal Lecter is just in more shape. We saw that he strung up that guard like a bird or whatever the fuck.
That's a good point.
So he's stronger than he looks. And maybe he's just doing push-ups in his cell. I don't know. But... John Kramer, while he is the mastermind, hashtag Taylor Swift, mm-hmm. of like so many people's death and destruction, he's got accomplices for a reason.
Do you know what? If this category was who would win first place at a science fair, it would be Pop-Pop Kramer.
It would be Pop-Pop Kramer. Mm-hmm. And I love him. I love Tobin Bell. Dr. Hannibal Lecter is just
okay,
the man for the job.
Absolutely.
This hurts me, but it's okay. But the next time we come back to the Nice Mask Bro division, it's going to be Gabriel versus Hannibal. Our last new division. I'm not going to say the name of this Amazon device because we saw this happen last time. I renamed this in spirit of that moment that was so funny last week. Cue Obsessed by Mariah Carey. Our first matchup in this division is Annie Wilkes from Misery up against the mother from Barbarian.
Oh my goodness gracious. I love the thought of these two together. I think that they would be friends. I think that they would do crafts together.
They would never leave the house.
No. And why would they? They would have everything worked out. Annie Wilkes, she's the top two floors. The mother from Barbarian, she is in the basement.
And underground,
right? They're not going to cross each other, except if we're matching them on the street. I already know the mother from Barbarian is coming with incredible strength and agility.
Yes.
She fell off of a water tower.
And lived. She can also just like pick people up by like their waists.
Yes. And throw them through brick walls.
Yes.
She almost has a supernatural strength.
I think she does. Mm-hmm. I think over time it's become a supernatural strength. She's very protective and she's very quick to anger. Where I think Annie Wilkes wants the control. Like she wants to be the head of the household and she just gets very erratic and screams a lot.
Yes. And
while we do see her with a sledgehammer, a vehicle, a grill, a gun.
Oh, and a grill?
Yeah. I'm thinking about the Iron Pig, too, even though it's used on her. The typewriter is used mm-hmm. on her. She's got a lot of things that she can pick up and put down.
I just don't think that they're going to be any match for the mother.
No.
If this was, again, like, I think if this was, like, the long game, I think Annie Wilkes might be more equipped for something like that. But if we're doing street fight, I think the mother from Barbarian is definitely going to take her down.
Doesn't the mother get shot and just, like, doesn't care? Yeah. Okay. So the mother from Barbarian.
Excellent.
The next matchup is Brenda from Urban Legend up against Amanda from Saw.
Okay, unhinged.
These two are equally matched.
And equally obsessed.
Equally obsessed by Mariah Carey.
I think both of these women have strength. I think Amanda, we know she is specifically strong. She's always like dragging people places, like to set them up in their little traps, I feel like. Will she have a gun?
She could have a gun. She could fucking electrocute somebody.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I'm trying to think when I've seen her overpower somebody. Because that's the thing. I know her from her legacy because I've seen all the Saw movies. We have not covered all the Saw movies. In the first one, obviously, we don't see very much of her. In the second one, we see her kind of saved by, I forget his name, is it Jesse? I don't remember. From Saw 2, when the big guy was going after them in the bathroom. And then in Saw 3, I mean, it's really her and Lynn going toe-to-toe, like, threatening her. I mean, she's got a long knife that she uses, and she does shoot Lynn at the end. So she has a gun.
Okay, knife and a gun. And we know she has physical strength.
And in Saw X, we see her pretty much kidnap everybody because John Kramer's not doing anything. Like, she takes Cecilia down.
Oh, right.
Like, she takes down everybody and puts them in their traps because she's the only accomplice on scene for John Kramer.
Can we take a second and appreciate how we have three villains from one franchise?
Because we love Saw.
I mean, they're all so good.
It was hard to exclude any of them.
They have to be there. It's a package deal.
Yeah.
Okay, and then Brenda is not to be underestimated. We know that she is also very strong. She carries out murders on her own, so she has a knife. She has pop rocks.
In the funnel.
She has a microwave.
She's got a slide deck of why she's very upset with our main girl, Natalie.
She's going to give you a presentation on how she's going to take you down.
And she lives to see the end of the movie.
She does.
She fakes her own death and goes to another school to talk about her urban legend that she is.
I don't think she can fake her own death in a street fight.
No. The only thing that's making me think it's comparable to Amanda's level of strength is maybe the car scene where she strings somebody up. I think Brenda is Amanda at like the first level. I think Brenda would be Amanda in a couple years, but I think Amanda's just a little too advanced for Brenda.
I feel like we always have one of those.
Yes.
Comes down to just the maturity, like being weathered, a weathered opponent.
Yeah. All right.
So we agree. Amanda from Saw advances to the next round.
So the next time we come back to the obsessed category, it is going to be the mother from Barbarian against Amanda from Saw. Going back to the keeping it in the fam division, we have the Bailey family up against the Sawyer family. So Leatherface and his family.
Okay, so again, we know Leatherface and his family are going to have chainsaws, strength.
Hooks. Other sharp weapons. Anything butcher related they're going to have.
Handhelds. And the Bailey family will have, again, strength and guns.
And knives.
I mean, this is definitely a fight that I think they're like pretty well matched.
This feels like book smart versus street smart to me, because Detective Bailey is a cop.
Yeah.
He's probably been trained in combat, where the Sawyer family is just a little more rugged, so they know how to fight dirty. My thing is, if you take the Sawyers off the farm, are they going to know how to act?
I just don't know if they're going to have what it takes to go up against the Bailey family. I feel like the Bailey family would come up with a better strategy or like be able to work better together. I feel like there was a sense of disorganization with the Sawyer family. Like there was some tension that we just did not get from the Bailey family when it really mattered. Like the Bailey family is just such a tight unit. I feel like they would act really well together. Whereas the Sawyer family, I don't know if they would be able to act as a great unit against the Bailey family.
They argue a lot.
They do.
They're more dysfunctional than the Bailey family is. Yeah. I mean, I just like to see when Ghostface wins. So I think the winner of the keeping it in the fam division is the Bailey family, which might be controversial, but I don't know, man.
It's our game, baby.
It's our game. Our rules. Returning to the mystical beings division, we have the alien from Alien up against Regan as Pazuzu from The Exorcist.
I feel like the alien would just eat Regan.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm like really trying to think because I feel like a lot of what Pazuzu does well is like breaking down the spirit of the people around where it's like they're trying to pray it away and they're trying to do that. But like religion doesn't fucking exist in space. Sorry. Maybe that's controversial. But like the alien is just going to swipe one little fucking paw and her head's going to go flying off.
Yeah, I mean, in Regan, we know Regan is really strong. Would she be able to like pick up the alien? Like does Regan's strength know bounds?
I feel like the spiritual plane doesn't translate to the Nostromo. I don't feel like God exists out there.
I feel like a lot of the tools in Regan's box would be lost against an opponent like the alien who just does not play by Earth's rules or earthly religious rules.
It's the alien.
I'm scared of this alien.
So the winner of the mystical beings division is the alien from Alien. Returning to the grown men division, we have the miner from My Bloody Valentine up against Dr. Grant from American Mary.
Now, Dr. Grant, if we're looking at him outside of the fight with Anton, he doesn't really have any weapons.
No.
But the miner has a pickaxe and he knows how to use it.
The only thing that Dr. Grant could do is like roofie the miner.
Yeah, but he can't get that. He's not going to have time to do that in a street fight.
No, he's not going to do
that.
Unless
he has like a little slingshot, just like pew. It's just unlikely.
No, I think in a game of everything is a dick, the miner has two on his pickaxe.
That is such a good point. Two dicks is better than one dick.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I think Dr. Grant is purely outnumbered.
He is. The miner, I think, is also just going to outbrute him. So
Yeah. I mean, the miner is, I mean, this is his bread and butter. I feel like he would just do so well in combat like this because we see him doing that so much in the movie.
So the winner of the grown men division is the miner from My Bloody Valentine.
I love this.
I know you're so happy.
I don't even know why. I don't even really give a shit about Axel that much.
Yeah.
But I just, for some reason, like the energy of the miner, I just kind of love it.
Going back to the F Them Kids division, we have Rose the Hat from Dr. Sleep up against Bagul from Sinister.
When I first saw this pairing at the end of our last visit to this division, I didn't know quite what to make of it. But now I feel like this is a really interesting pairing because I really think this fight kind of extends into like a metaphysical plane. We know Rose the Hat has a gift and she can sort of see into people's minds. And Bagul does something similar, but like it's via technology, right? He can bring children into the Super 8.
He kind of entrances the kids by making them watch the tapes. And that kind of acts as like a possession of some degree or like an enchantment of some degree.
Well, here's a question. So Bagul carries out most of his villainy by employing the children to do it. So we don't really see him do a lot.
You could say that the True Knot does a lot of Rose's bidding too.
That's true. So together, what weapons would they have? Rose would have...
steam.
Steam. And Bagul would have his fists.
We don't really see Bagul do too much besides like bully kids to do things.
You know, it's so funny. Not to like reuse a joke, but I can see these two being lovers.
Oh, yeah.
What is up with my, like, enemies to lovers obsession today?
Watch your fucking back, Crow Daddy, because Bagul's coming for your lady.
I really don't know. I feel really lost here.
I feel like Bagul is only powerful under the element of suggestion. Mm. And I feel like Rose is not in the demographic where Bagul can be suggestive.
Yeah, he's not going to be able to, like, reach his full scary power against an opponent like Rose.
It's also, like I always say, the motivation question. Like, these two want nothing to do with each other because Rose wants to kill a human being to get their steam and Bagul wants to add children to his army. For what reason? I don't know.
Maybe they just walk away from the street and just go get a drink together.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I know there's a Sinister 2 that we haven't watched, but again, we see Bagul as being more suggestive and more of a metaphor for betrayal than we see him actually employing violence, where we see Rose employ violence a lot. She stabs people. She pushes people downstairs. So I just don't know that Bagul would scare Rose. She'd be like, ooh, like, where have you been hiding, handsome? Yeah. Like, yeah, it would be done.
Okay, great. Rose the Hat.
Unsurprisingly, the winner of the F Them Kids division is Rose the Hat.
She hates kids.
Moving back to the nice mask, bro, we have Gabriel from Malignant against Dr. Hannibal Lecter.
Oh my god.
Bye, Dr. Lecter.
Yeah. We don't have to mess around here. Gabriel is going to absolutely annihilate.
The only thing that I could think of is that Dr. Lecter would try to like be some like, you're a medical marvel and we can work together, but no, it's not gonna fucking
Gabriel
work.
Gabriel is so beyond.
And
being
Gabriel's
susceptible.
Smart. Like, yes. He's not just brute. Like, he's very manipulative. He also has that like power over sound waves thing going on. And I think Lecter's got nothing but his teeth.
Absolutely.
So the winner of the nice mask bro division is Gabriel from Malignant. Our last mini divisional matchup is the mother from Barbarian against Amanda from Saw.
You know, honestly, I feel like the mother would immediately identify somebody to mother in Amanda.
That is true. But does that mean that Amanda would be able to kind of manipulate her way into winning that situation?
I mean, I do think we have to keep an open mind to it because we do see the mother succumb to that kind of thinking.
Well, doesn't Tess murder the mother in the end by manipulating her?
Yes. So it could happen in a street fight because they literally were in a street when that happened.
And we know that Amanda can play this role very well because she plays like a wounded dog for the first two fucking movies. And it's not until the end of Saw 2 that we realize that she's sinister the entire time.
Yeah.
So I feel like Amanda would know the role that she has to play. And I realize that we're arriving at a street fight. The idea is to fight. But I feel like all Amanda would have to do is start crying and the mother would be like, oh, and then Amanda would stab her.
Yeah, I really agree. And especially because literally we see the mother die because she is trying to mother in a street. So I think it's perfectly fair for us to know that that could be the mother's Achilles heel and know that Amanda is honestly probably the perfect person in all of the villains we have included here today to take her down.
It's Amanda Young.
Wow. Congratulations, Amanda.
So the winner of the Q Obsessed by Mariah Carey division is Amanda Young. Okay, now we get to the fun part. So,
Ménage à trois.
So we have... We have six finalists in the division, and the only way to get to a final two is to create a three-way brawl on the sides of our rankings here. Now, for the purposes of the Keeping It in the Fam division, we are not going to be taking all three of them with us for the sake of fairness. Mm-hmm. We are going to be whittling the Bailey family down to Detective Bailey, probably the most physical force of the trio, and he does last the longest in the movie, so I found that to be the most fair way to go about it. So we are going to be having Detective Bailey from Scream 6 going up against the Miner from My Bloody Valentine going up against Amanda Young from Saw.
So first of all, Officer Bailey is going to have a pointy knife and a gun and brute strength. The Miner is going to have his pickaxe, as we know, brute strength, and Amanda is going to have her brute strength and a gun, I think, as well, mm-hmm. and a pointy thing. All of these people have really similar weapons.
They do.
We don't have any supernatural elements at play here, which is interesting as well. We're really keeping this in like a literal plane.
Where I'm looking at the other half and it's going to be all supernatural, which is going to be so what the fuck.
There's going to be a lot of us just like making shit up.
Oh, yeah. So now we're looking at Amanda here, right? Because Shawnee Smith is 5'3". Amanda is 5'3". Mm-hmm. While she is like a very imposing person, do we think that Amanda is going to take a similar route where she's going to look like she's kind of just strung out and scared, and Detective Bailey and the Miner are going to see in each other larger threats that they want to go after first while she cowers in a corner?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Like, I want to assume we're all fighting at the same time, yeah. But like, if I'm looking between the two of them, who am I worried about first? I'm not worried about Amanda because I can take her down later.
But they might want to take her out first.
That's true.
So they can focus on each other. I don't see Amanda allying with anybody.
The only thing that I could think of is that she's going to try to buddy up to one of them and be like, protect me. And maybe because Detective Bailey has a daughter, or maybe because the Miner is suggestible because he is heartbroken. Maybe it would work with Detective Bailey more, but like, I don't know.
I also think Amanda's at a disadvantage because I feel like she would be who the Miner would go after first.
That's fair.
As like the young woman, and he is a spurned lover. So I do feel like that might put a target on her back right at the start.
Okay. So are we just eliminating Amanda?
Yeah, by Amanda. I know. I'm so sorry. I'm so proud of her.
And I hate the idea that it's just because it's two grown men fucking going after it that she can't win. But a grown man is her downfall. If we remember, fucking Jeff is the one that kills Amanda. A man with a gun.
Yes. A man with a gun. Okay. So that makes me feel a little bit better, you know, that we've seen this before.
Yes, we have.
Okay. So that leaves Officer Bailey and the Miner. This is a fight.
This is a fight.
You know, again, Bailey brings with him the advantage of training. And the Miner obviously has a lot of physical strength and experience using his tool, but I don't know if he would have that refinement or that specific training. I don't know if that would be a disadvantage for him or if that would even matter.
Again, because we don't really see the Miner going hand to hand a lot of the time. We just see the results of what he's done. With Detective Bailey, presumably, if we're thinking about, you know, the instances that we've seen Ghostface act, Detective Bailey was the ghost face that threw Annika over the side of the ladder. Detective Bailey is also likely the one that shot up the bodega. Mm-hmm. So if we're thinking about who was who, like, he is a very strong, prominent physical force. And like Axel.
Yeah, it's not Axel.
It's not Axel. Like, Axel gets distracted. Axel gets angry and drinks himself in corners. And I just don't think he's as focused as Detective Bailey is.
Maybe one day he could be.
Maybe one day he could be. If we're thinking about technicality, the only thing the Miner really does have over Detective Bailey is that the Miner survives. Like, he just wanders off crazed into the remainder of the mine without a hand. But like, I don't see him really dominating Detective Bailey, yeah. Unfortunately, which I don't even like Detective Bailey that much. But the fact, he's a good villain. Like, a ghost face is really hard to bring down.
Mm-hmm. All right. I think that makes sense. So we're going to have Detective Bailey.
As one of our finalists.
As one of our finalists. Okay.
Wow.
Okay.
Okay. Now, this other side of the division is fucking wild. We have a three-way brawl happening between the alien from Alien, Rose the Hat from Dr. Sleep, and Gabriel from Malignant.
Okay, Rose the Hat is
gone.
I cannot see her.
No,
yes,
I'm sorry.
She's out of here. I mean, she has such unique powers, but I don't think that they would be effective on either one of these opponents for a second.
No, the only thing I could see is her trying to charm Gabriel, but that's not going to fucking work. Gabriel is so angry and hates women.
And hates women. He hates you.
He has such mommy issues. Like, he is not going to fly with that. It's like trying to seduce Michael Myers. It's just not going to fucking happen. Like, Rose the Hat, I'm sorry. Goodbye.
It was nice having you.
It was nice having you. I knew you would go far.
Okay, so I do feel like the alien finally has a real opponent in Gabriel. I also think Gabriel finally has a real opponent in the alien.
Yes, I agree.
An advantage that Gabriel has is that Gabriel is nimble and quick, whereas the alien is, of course, big and strong, but I don't know if not having that like mobility would be a disadvantage for the alien. If Gabriel can just like run all over the place, use his little pointy thing, you know, would the alien even be able to kind of like catch up to him and what's going on?
I'm trying to remember the ways in which the alien kills people.
It's
a lot of just like eating their necks and shit, right? Like,
yeah, and I think a lot of it happens off screen.
Well, and we do see the alien get bested. He gets sucked into space. That's the only way he's bested, is because he gets sucked into space. Gabriel doesn't die either. He just gets, like, wished away, kind of.
He gets therapized away.
He gets therapized away. I'm also just trying to think of the stature because the alien is larger than Maddie is tall.
Yeah, but I feel like, yes, the alien is bigger, but Gabriel's quicker. So I feel like there's a little bit of, like it rebalances the field here. Also, didn't we talk about Gabriel, like, throwing people? Gabriel is really strong.
Gabriel is really strong. I mean, Gabriel's like jumping on shit and Gabriel's tearing throats out and throwing chairs across the room at people.
Yeah. He can lift things. He can throw things. He has a weapon. He's quick.
He's jumping down fire
escapes.
He's
defying gravity.
He's defying gravity. And then the alien
is just big and eats people. And I just don't know if that's enough for Gabriel, who has so many things.
You know, I think something that points this in Gabriel's favor is the fact that the alien is good in the environment that it's in the sense that it can like hide a lot. And a lot of it is, again, that element of surprise.
Yes.
That you were talking about. Same with the miner, that like people just get happened upon by it who aren't as familiar with their surroundings. And the alien's able to implement a lot of surprise tactics. Where if we're assuming there is not a level of surprise, Gabriel is more dominant in hand-to-hand stuff than we've seen the alien be effective in hand-to-hand stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Just due to the fact that Sigourney Weaver is able to just open a hatch and like will it away.
Yeah.
So are we saying Gabriel?
I think we're saying Gabriel.
Wow.
Gabriel.
I'm not mad about it.
You're so scary.
So our final for Villains March Madness 2024 is Detective Bailey from Scream 6 up against Gabriel from Malignant.
All right, look. I'm sure Detective Bailey is going to do his best, and maybe he'll get a couple shots fired. But Gabriel. If Gabriel can take down that alien, he can take down Detective Bailey.
You know what the nail in the coffin is?
What?
Gabriel in the police precinct.
Oh, yeah.
Throw in the fucking chairs. Cops are no match.
No. Cops are actually Gabriel's favorite prey.
Exactly. He hates cops.
So do we have a winner, Shay?
I think we have a winner. Our winner of 2024 March Madness is Gabriel from Malignant.
Wait, wow. So who was our final girl winner again?
Our final girl winner was Erin from Your Next.
Excellent. Okay, Erin from Your Next and Gabriel from Malignant. I think these are two excellent winners for our March Madness tradition.
And I'm trying to think of our winners of villains past. We had Esther from Orphan. And then our second year?
Megan.
Two little girls. We've broken the curse.
Oh my God, we've broken the curse. We've broken the curse. Oh my gosh. I never put it together that our first two winners of Villains March Madness were both young girls.
I think Gabriel is, I mean, I don't want to get into the genderification of Gabriel being in a lady body,
yeah.
But like, we still have some representation in that regard.
Yes.
Maddie's here.
Yes. Wow. We love our femininity, our feminine villains. That's so fun.
I know. I don't know that I was expecting this, but I'm not unhappy.
It was such a fun journey, such a fun surprise.
Detective Bailey really made a run that I wasn't expecting.
Me either.
I wasn't expecting him to make it this far.
I think it's because he was in the family division, and his family is like, they are a rock solid team.
And I mean, I don't think Amber and Richie made it this far when we had them in the mix.
But they were young and they didn't have like the trained experience that Detective Bailey had. And I think that really helped him in a lot of the earlier rounds when he was on his own.
So that was March Madness. We have so much fun with it every single year. We hope that you did too.
If you want to keep up with us and what we're doing, please follow us on Instagram at The Horrors Podcast. Or if you want to get in touch with us, you can email us at thehorrorspodcast@gmail.com.
And until next time, we're The Horrors.
Bye.
Bye.